Bayou 95.7 New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlin here. A smuggler was caught with 2 pounds of gold paste in his rectum.
Ew!
2 pounds of gold paste up there. I mean, 2 pounds of anything up there is, I think, is newsworthy.
All right, well, excuse my ignorance. What exactly is gold paste? Is it gold-colored glue?
I'm gonna tell you in a minute.
Okay.
A man in India was caught at the airport trying to smuggle 2 pounds of gold paste in his rectum. Smugglers have figured out that if you mix gold powder with certain ingredients, you can make a paste that's a lot harder for metal detectors to spot. He had 4 packages of it up his rectum, and it was worth just over $55,000.
I'm still confused. So gold paste just makes gold turn into paste?
Coleman, if you mix things with gold, it's harder for metal detectors to spot.
Okay, so there's... All right, I'm still not picturing what's going on here. All right, so he's trying to smuggle something that's made out of metal. So he makes a gold paste to cover whatever it is that's made out of metal so he can smuggle it?
No. He's trying to smuggle gold.
Why does he need to smuggle gold? Is it illegal to bring gold places? I guess that's why I'm confused. Like, is gold bad? Is gold illegal? You can't bring gold on a plane with you?
A smuggler in India was arrested this week after he got caught at the airport with 2 pounds of gold shoved up his rectum.
I got that, yes. But I didn't know gold was something you would have to smuggle. I mean, I know people that wear gold chains, gold watches, and they're able to get on a plane. All they have to do is take it off and put it in a little thing so when they go through the metal detector, it doesn't go off. So I'm guessing in India, you're not allowed to smuggle gold?
Well,
I mean, not smuggle gold, but bring gold.
The strange part of this story is, well, 2 pounds of anything up a rectum is pretty wild. But this gold was in paste form. Yes, you can turn gold into a paste. He's not the first person to do it. Smugglers have tried sneaking gold paste through security before because it's a lot harder for metal detectors to spot. To turn it into paste, they have to convert it into gold powder. Then they can take that powder, add a few ingredients, and end up with a paste that's about 70% gold. The guy who got arrested put it in 4 separate wrappers. An X-ray showed all 4 of them lodged up his backside. So they arrested him. He had over $55,000 worth of gold in his butt.
Okay, but I understand everything. But I didn't know gold was illegal. That's the part. Why are they hiding the gold? Why do they need to shove it up their butts? Why do they have to make it into a paste? What did gold do in India that you can't just bring gold with you? That's the point I'm missing out.
Maybe he didn't want to carry $55,000 worth of gold just on him. Okay. when he got on when he was flying someplace. You're asking me why someone stuck 2 pounds worth of gold and turned it into paste up their butt. That's what you're asking me.
Yes, because I didn't know gold was illegal. I can understand if it was drugs. I can understand if it was a weapon, but I didn't know why is gold, right? I didn't think gold was anything was wrong with gold.
Maybe this man just didn't want to carry $55,000 worth of gold on him. He would think that he was a target Maybe he was afraid that someone might rob him. You're asking me why someone would stick $55,000 worth of gold up their backside, and like as if I would be able to tell you, well, here's why, Coleman.
I would assume that maybe the story or something would have a reason why somebody would stick gold up their butts, because once again, I didn't think gold was bad. I thought gold was pretty cool.
And this, I'm looking at this story. They not only have a picture, but they have the X-ray of all that gold up his backside. The picture kind of just looks like poo. But the X-ray looks like an X-ray of someone's butt with something crammed up there.
Well, it is kind of, it is in paste form. I guess India gets to keep the gold after they remove it from his butt. And they get to...
I do not know why a man, why a human being would do that.
This text says he obviously didn't want to report that he had that much money. I didn't find it obvious. I didn't know.
When you fly, Coleman, you can't have too much money. But that texter's right. I mean, if you had here in America, let's say you had $35,000 in cash on you. If you got to the airport, you would have to tell TSA, I've got $35,000 worth of cash on me. You'd have to tell them that.
Okay, now that makes some sort of sense.
So here's a guy that's got $55,000 worth of gold on him, and he's going to fly someplace. And so, like the texter said, evidently he didn't want the airport security in India to realize that he had over $55,000 worth of gold on him, and so this was a way to try to hopefully get it by them, but it didn't work.
Okay, that's that. I'm piecing that together. But also, if you have $55,000 worth of gold, I'm quite sure you can charter a private plane or a private helicopter to where you don't even have to deal with the airport. That's what I would do.
Perhaps, but we don't know this guy. All we know about him is that he stuck 2 pounds worth of gold, and he turned it into gold paste, and he stuck it up his rectum.
Well, he should use the gold to make bail. I mean, it is $55,000 worth of gold in his butt. Maybe when it comes out, he can say, "This is my bail money."
You would think he has the money for bail.
Yeah, it was in his butt. Of course, he has it.
All right, coming up on the show this morning, the city of New Orleans announced it's going to have its first parade in a year and a half, in 18 months. Its first parade in 18 months. That's coming up. We have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And here in the city of New Orleans, we got some news yesterday. We are going to have our first parade soon, in over a year and a half, a little more than 18 months. We're going to have our first parade, and no, the garbage parade a couple of weeks ago doesn't count. I know there was that parade. It was a rainy Saturday afternoon, and there were a bunch of people who were frustrated that garbage hasn't been picked up in a long time, and they decided to march to City Hall, the idiot box, here in New Orleans, but that doesn't count. We're talking about a parade with professional parade floats.
Oh, I thought you meant a parade that was government approved. a government-permitted parade.
Well, that too. But parades that we have grown accustomed to here in New Orleans. And it was announced yesterday that in 3 weeks, there will be the Crew of Boo Parade. That's the annual Halloween parade. And this will be the first parade in New Orleans since the end of Mardi Gras 2020. Wow, a year and a half without a parade. And the Crew of Boo, the annual Halloween spectacle here in New Orleans, that's going to roll on October 23rd.
All right.
So we're just over 3 weeks away from our first parade. When they made this announcement yesterday, evidently everybody who is in the Crew of Boo Parade is going to have to either be vaccinated or show them proof that they tested negative for COVID in the last 72 hours. That's how that's going to roll.
Literally and figuratively, because it's a parade.
Our mayor, Letaxa Cantrell, yesterday said that she approved the Crew of Boo Parade. And I'm just excited that, well, first and foremost, this is the first parade in this city known for its parades in a year and a half. And I just want things to get back to the way they were before this pandemic. And here's a sign of that.
I mean, things are going to get back to normal as far as activities go. I think we're still going to have to carry cars and wear masks, though, going into the far future. Like, this is a part of us. This is a part of our society now, these new rules and regulations and stuff like that. It's not going anywhere.
So yesterday when the mayor made this announcement, she also said that they're going to keep a close eye on how this unfolds. And she said, this is a step towards the return of Mardi Gras. Coming back.
That's what I'm afraid of. So what's going to happen is, as the parade is going about, then they're going to see, they're going to look at numbers, they're going to look at how many people wearing masks, as far as like the revelers go, not the people part of the Crew of Boo. You know, they're going to see how they act, they're going to see how much distance they are socially distanced, they're going to see if afterwards if a bunch of people are going to test positive for the Delta variant, and depending on how this one goes, then the mayor's going to decide, well, it went pretty well, so we're going to have regular Mardi Gras. Or, oh, you guys didn't comply to these rules, so I got to cancel Mardi Gras next year.
I can't imagine people watching this parade from the sidewalk and on the side of the road. I can't imagine all of them wearing masks.
Of course not.
That's not.
Of course not. It's kind of hard to yell, throw me something, mister, when you got a mask over your face. Like, tell me something, mister.
Yeah, and the Crew of Brew, the Crew of Boo Parade, the annual Halloween parade, it doesn't take the normal parade route that you see during Mardi Gras. It doesn't go down St. Charles Avenue. Or it doesn't come in from to downtown from mid-city. This is the one. It goes through the French Quarter. It goes through the Warehouse District. And I just, I again, all I want is for things to be like they were before all of this craziness started. And here's a sign that we're stepping in that direction. There's over 1,000 people in the crew of Boo Parade. And they have marching bands, they have dance troops, they have walking crews. Again, this is the very first parade that we'll see here in a year and a half. Over 18 months.
Well, I think for me, for things to get back to normal, I'm looking forward to boob flashes. You know, parades are cool. Throwing stuff is cool. Having bands and all that is cool. But if nobody flashes some boobs in my face, it's still not going to feel like Mardi Gras to me.
Well, this is the crew of Boo. It's not the crew of Boob.
Yeah. But like you said, it's the start. So hopefully if the crew of Boo rolls correctly without too many incidences, no tandem float accidents or nothing like that, then maybe around Fat Tuesday time, we can really go back to normal and I can go on Bourbon Street and do what I do best, which is exchange beads for boobs.
Well, and if you go back a year and a half to Mardi Gras 2020, that's when the whole COVID coronavirus situation started.
Yeah, so I had to get virtual boob flashes, like through Zooms and all that and FaceTimes, because I couldn't get actual boob flashes on Bourbon Street. Then it was like 30 degrees or something like that, too. So even if you wanted to be rebellious and go out, it was too damn cold.
Well, I just think it's great news that we're about 3 weeks away from the first parade here in the city of New Orleans in a year and a half. And hopefully this is just the beginning of us getting back to life the way we knew it before this insanity. We have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Let me ask you something. If you went to an amusement park and they had scales, weight scales, right next to the entrance of their rides, because they wanted to make sure that you're not too big to ride the rides, would you think that was fat shaming? Because that's happening right now. Now the amusement park says, "Look, we're just trying to be careful. We can't go over a certain amount of weight on some of our rides here, so that's why we put the scale near the entrance of the ride." Well, that angered a lot of people. Stay tuned for that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Yesterday on our show, around this time, Coleman and I disagreed about something. We were talking about how the man who shot then-President Ronald Reagan, John Hinckley Jr., not only is he out of prison, he wasn't in prison. He was in a mental hospital. But he's been out of that for 5 or 6 years. He's been living with his mother in Virginia. And the Justice Department just said they made an announcement the other day saying they're gonna remove his release restrictions. And I mean, all of that bothered me. The fact that he was in a mental institution and not prison bothered me. The fact that he was released 5 or 6 years ago and he's been living with his mother bothered me. And now he's not even going to have any release restrictions on him. That bothered me. And that none of that seemed to bother Coleman. Coleman thought, look, it was 1981.
Yeah, water off of Doug's back.
It was a long time ago. He was mentally ill, blah, blah, blah. And we had some really good texts yesterday. But one of the things I said when we were talking about that is this guy is free, and he shot a sitting president and other people. James Brady, there were other people that got shot that day. And I said, how many men have been in prison for a very long time for marijuana and other ridiculousness? Well, Coleman, man granted parole 40 years after robbing taco shop with plastic water gun. Back in 1981, the same year that John Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan and others, a man in Arkansas named Rolf Kastel went up to Senor Bob's Taco Hut in Fort Smith, Arkansas, again in 1981, with a plastic water gun. And he said, this is a stick-up. And he stole $264. No one was hurt. He was caught. He was arrested. He was convicted. And he's been in prison every day since. And now, 40 years later, he's getting released. Look what he just did 40 years in prison for. Robbing a taco stand.
Yeah, I think 40 years is way too long for robbing a taco stand with a water gun. He should have at least got 5 years. So he robbed he got $200 and he used a water gun? 40 years is way too long.
$264. He did more prison time, a lot more than the man who shot a sitting president of the United States and other men who were walking with him.
Yeah. Seems like our justice system is a bit broken, just a little bit.
Isn't that something, though?
Yeah.
So he's going to be released. They just announced he's been granted parole. They haven't said exactly what day yet. But he did 40 years in prison for robbing a taco stand with a plastic water pistol that got him $264. And I know $264 in 1981, that's probably...
$3 million.
Yeah, it's a lot more money today. But still, here on Bayou 95.7, that's some story, huh? New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. We just played Metallica. Before that Outfield song. And did you know a couple of weeks ago, Metallica played a surprise show at a small club in San Francisco that only held 500 people? That's how small the club. And Metallica just played there 2 weeks ago.
Pretty cool.
It did a full set. They announced it, and they said, I guess via social media, they said, hey, we're playing The Independent in San Francisco tonight. And that's the name of the club. And The Independent only holds 500 people. They said, you have to buy your tickets at the box office at The Independent, and you have to pay cash. Tickets cost $19.81.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
Because 1981 commemorated the year that Metallica formed.
Ah, so maybe that the Independence Club also holds significance, and it's probably why they played there. Maybe Metallica, that's where they got their start. Maybe the club owner knew them, and they got their big break there. Maybe there's some...
I don't know about that, because Metallica started off in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And then they didn't like the way... They were treated in Los Angeles. They didn't like the Los Angeles music scene in the early 80s. And so they packed up and they moved up the coast to San Francisco, and they made that their home city. But could you imagine seeing Metallica now in 2021 inside of a club that holds only 500 people?
I would prefer that instead of seeing them at a big stadium. I would love to see Metallica more intimately, like at the Fillmore or something at Harris Casino, than going to a big-ass stadium with a bunch of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then for only $20?
There's video around of that. If you, I was watching a video the other night of them do a couple of songs at that club 2 weeks ago. And, I mean, they sounded great, but it's just a small club, and there's Metallica, one of the biggest bands in the history of rock music, playing a small club for 500 fans for $19.81 cash. You had to be vaccinated, though. It was like going to a restaurant here in New Orleans or going inside anywhere. You had to either show them your vaccination card, or you had to show them, if you weren't vaccinated, you tested negative for coronavirus in the last couple of days.
But think about it. It was cash only, 500 people. You know how much coin change that the cashier had to have to give everybody 19 cent back when they gave him a $20 bill? Because not nobody's going with exactly $19.81. So the cashier kept having to give everybody 19 cent back all night, 500 different people.
Yeah, well, evidently they made it. They did it. And the show went really well. I'm gonna check shortly and see if I could maybe put a video of one or two of their songs from that night up on our website at bayou957.com. Because when I was scrolling on my cell phone and I saw that a few nights ago, I threw that on my speakers in my living room and I cranked it up, and man, seeing and hearing them in a small club in the year 2021, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm gonna go see if I can grab one or two of those videos and throw them on our website at bayou957.com. Un momento, por favor. And coming up on the show, I still got this morning's Big O. And also, do you like Arby's? I love Arby's. I love their roast beef. Arby's is, they are now selling sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat.
Okay.
We still got a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. An amusement park is being accused of fat shaming its guests with humiliating self-weighing stations. Outside of some of their rides, roller coasters and such, they have a scale now, because you can't be over a certain weight and ride the rides. The amusement park, it's called Adventure World, and it's in Perth, Australia. And there are some people that are not happy with them because to get on some of their rides, you have to get on a scale just to make sure you're not too heavy to ride the rides. And they're doing that to protect all of their guests. And when you step on the scale, either a green light flashes or a red light flashes. And obviously, if the red light flashes, that means you're too heavy to ride the ride. And now they're being accused of fat shaming the visitors who go to that amusement park. One incensed person said, quote, "The park doesn't cater to us anymore."
All right, that was it? That's all he said?
Well, no, well then one visitor said that her 13-year-old daughter was left humiliated after stepping on the scale at the Rocky Rapid Water Slide ride and discovering she exceeded the limit. Her mother said, quote, "My eldest daughter took my youngest daughter, who has special needs, to the water slide. Once at the top, she was stopped and asked to stand on a scale. The lights flickered green and then red." The upset mother said, "The operator then walked over to an electrical box and looked inside it and then came back to my daughter and said, sorry, you weigh too much. And you can't go down the water slide." Look, is that fat shaming, or is that just the amusement park wanting to protect everybody that goes there, and in this particular instance, protect their investment, their water slide?
And all of their rides. I don't necessarily see it as shaming because it is a safety issue. I remember when I used to go to amusement parks, I would have to meet a height requirement, right? So if I didn't exceed a certain height, I would have to stand next to this ruler. And if I wasn't past the green bar, that means I wasn't able to get on the ride. But whenever that would happen, let's say I was too short to ride one of the rides, I wasn't ashamed. I just say, oh, well, screw it. I just can't ride this particular ride. And that was the end. So why should it be different for a weight requirement?
Yeah, I remember seeing those, the height, that they would have a cutout of a person.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go stand next to it. And it would say, if you have to be at least this height to ride this ride. And if you're not, sorry, you can't ride the ride.
So is that short shaming?
Yeah, I don't remember anybody complaining about being short shamed or height shamed. That was just the rule.
Yeah, and then most rides they would tell you, hey, you have to be this height to get on the ride, and most people knew their height, so they before they even stand next to the ruler, they can look at the sign and say, well, I'm not that tall, so I just won't even get in line. Why even waste time? I go find something else to do. So if they have weight requirements on the rides that's on display, before you even get on the scale, you should probably know, yeah, I probably can't ride that ride. So I just won't. I'll just go try another ride and hopefully I have better luck.
Well, and this mother said, I was so angry and disappointed in Adventure World. We've enjoyed these rides for years and now all of a sudden we weren't able to. Well, it was because your daughter was too heavy to ride the water slide, to go down the slide. Could you imagine if they had scales at airports where you check in? Because some people are big and they take up more than one seat, and it would stink for the person next to them.
Well, didn't they try that saying if you are a certain size, we'll have to charge you for two seats because you occupy the weight of more than one person? Didn't one airline did try that?
Well,
charge
I
you?
I think all airlines would charge someone for two seats if they took up more than one seat on an airplane.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's ever been an actual scale right there at the ticket counter at the airlines in an airport where someone would have to get on to see if they're going to have to pay for more than one seat. Do you think that this is fat shaming by the amusement park, or do you think that, hey, this is business? They want to protect all of the visitors to their park, and they want to protect their rides as well.
Yeah, this text says it's still discreet because the scale doesn't actually say the weight, because it just has a red light or a green light.
That's so, right.
Yeah. This text says, how heavy is too heavy? If they claim to want to protect their guests, weigh everyone. Okay, but even if you weighed everyone, certain people would still get rejected. Maybe a better tactic is to use a collective height requirement, meaning that if a ride can only hold so much of weight, just let everybody get on until that collective weight is met. And then instead of having each individual weigh themselves, just have a collective weight that once that ride reaches its maximum weight, then nobody else could get on. That way it kind of balances out. So if somebody is a bit heavier, they will put lighter people on the other side of the ride, or maybe something like that. Or just create rides designed to hold more weight, right? Because you do want everyone to enjoy the amusement park.
But the question is, Coleman,
mm-hmm.
is this fat shaming?
I don't see it as fat shaming.
I don't either.
But the thing is, you and I aren't big, so we wouldn't know, because we've never been shamed for our body types before.
Now, we've been by you, 95.7 New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh.
An amusement park is being accused of fat shaming its guests with humiliating self-weighing stations. Outside of some of their rides, roller coasters and such, they have a scale. Now, because you can't be over a certain weight and ride the rides. The amusement park, it's called Adventure World, and it's in Perth, Australia. And there are some people that are not happy with them, because to get on some of their rides, you have to get on a scale just to make sure you're not too heavy to ride the rides. And they're doing that to protect all of their guests. And when you step on the scale, either a green light flashes or a red light flashes. And obviously, if the red light flashes, that means you're too heavy to ride the ride. And now they're being accused of fat shaming the visitors who go to that amusement park. One incensed person said, quote, "The park doesn't cater to us anymore."
All right, that was it? That's all he said?
Well, no, well then one visitor said that her 13-year-old daughter was left humiliated after stepping on the scale at the Rocky Rapid Water Slide ride and discovering she exceeded the limit. Her mother said, quote, "My youngest daughter, who has special needs to the water slide. Once at the top, she was stopped and asked to stand on a scale. The lights flickered green and then red. The upset mother said the operator then walked over to an electrical box and looked inside it and then came back to my daughter and said, "Sorry, you weigh too much and you can't go down the water slide." Look, is that fat shaming, or is that just the amusement park wanting to protect everybody that goes there, and in this particular instance, protect their investment, their water slide,
and all of their rides? I don't necessarily see it as shaming, because it is a safety issue. I remember when I used to go to amusement parks, I would have to meet a height requirement, right? So if I didn't exceed a certain height, I would have to stand next to this ruler. And if I wasn't past the green bar, that means I wasn't able to get on the ride. But whenever that would happen, let's say I was too short to ride one of the rides, I wasn't ashamed. I just say, "Oh, well, screw it. I just can't ride this particular ride." And that was the end. So why should it be different for a weight requirement?
Yeah, I remember seeing those, the height that they would have a cutout of a person.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go stand next to it. And it would say, if you have to be at least this height to ride this ride. And if you're not, sorry, you can't ride the ride.
So that's short shaming?
Yeah, I don't remember anybody complaining about being short shamed or height shamed. That was just the rule.
Yeah. And then, well, most rides, they would tell you, hey, you have to be this height to get on the ride. And most people knew their height. So before they even stand next to the ruler, they can look at the sign and say, "Well, I'm not that tall, so I just won't even get in line. Why even waste time? I go find something else to do." So if they have weight requirements on the rides that's on display, before you even get on the scale, you should probably know, yeah, I probably can't ride that ride. So I just won't. I'll just go try another ride, and hopefully I have better luck.
Well, and this mother said, "I was so angry and disappointed in Adventure World. We've enjoyed these rides for years, and now all of a sudden we weren't able to." Well, it was because your daughter was too heavy to ride the water slide, to go down the slide. Could you imagine if they had scales at airports where you check in? Because some people are big and they take up more than one seat, and it would stink for the person next to them.
Well, didn't they try that, saying if you are a certain size, we'll have to charge you for two seats because you occupy the weight of, you know, more than one person? Didn't one airline did try that?
Well, I think all airlines would charge someone for two seats if they took up more than one seat on an airplane.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's ever been an actual scale right there at the ticket counter at the airlines in an airport where someone would have to get on to see if they're gonna have to pay for more than one seat. Do you think that this is fat shaming by the amusement park, or do you think that, hey, this is business? They want to protect all of the visitors to their park, and they want to protect their rides as well.
Yeah, this text says it's still discreet because the scale doesn't actually say the weight, because it just has a red light or a green light.
That's so right.
Yeah. This text says, "How heavy is too heavy? If they claim to want to protect their guests, weigh everyone." Okay, but even if you wait everyone, certain people will still get rejected. Maybe they should do, maybe a better tactic is to use in the cumulative, a collective height requirement, meaning that if a ride can only hold so much of weight, just let everybody get on until that collective weight is met, and then instead of having each individual weigh themselves, just have a collective weight that once that ride reaches its maximum weight, then nobody else could get on. That way it kind of balances out. So if somebody is a bit heavier, they will put lighter people on the other side of the ride or maybe something like that. Or just create rides designed to hold more weight, right? Because you do want everyone to enjoy the amusement park.
But the question is, Coleman,
mm-hmm.
is this fat shaming?
I don't see it as fat shaming.
I don't either.
But the thing is, you and I aren't big, so we wouldn't know because we've never been shamed for our body types before.
Now, we've been shamed for other things.
Yeah, so maybe bigger people may feel like, yes, this is humiliating. Yes, this is a shame. But I also know I have some big friends, and they would say, I wouldn't even attempt to even try to ride the rides because I know how much I weigh. So they are completely understandable. They're like, no, I get it. I can't ride the ride. Okay, I'm okay. I know how I look. I know how much I weigh. I'm not even going to put myself in a position to be humiliated and turned around.
But it's something any business that requires someone to get on a weight scale to see if they're able to use whatever's in that business. I think there's always going to be some people that will look at that and call that fat shaming. But without a scale, how else is the amusement park supposed to figure out if someone is too heavy to ride one of their rides?
Yeah.
How else are they supposed to do that?
This says if an engineer says a certain weight is too much to operate the thing safely, tough bleep. Tommy D says at amusement rides they've been using height measurements for riders' safety for years. Why should weight be considered any different?
It shouldn't. If you're listening, do you think this is fat shaming? There are some people that do. I think this is just the amusement park doing the best that they can to try to keep all of their visitors safe and to keep their rides functioning the way they're supposed to.
Yeah. Like AJ says, I've been on commuter flights that required heavier people to sit in specific places to maintain a center of gravity. You know, like, are you going to argue with physics at this point? No, you're not. If safety is a concern and weight is a factor, mass is a factor, and you want to keep people safe because we know how gravity works, we know how physics works, we know how center of gravity works, are those who may feel ashamed that they can't ride a certain ride or sit in a certain place on a plane going to argue with physics and science?
You know, there used to be a time when people took responsibility for themselves. That there used to be a time when, all right, if you had to be under a certain weight to ride a ride at an amusement park or to go down a water slide at an amusement park, and they're telling you that you're too heavy, there used to be a time when that person would say, man, you know, I should eat better, I should work out more, I should lose some weight. But there's a lot of people that aren't like that anymore. They want to blame anybody else for their issue, their problem of why they can't ride that amusement park ride.
Yeah, I want to hear from our bigger listeners, though. I want to know if they feel like this is shameful. Do they understand? Is it a safety issue? Do they have a problem with it? Because it's easy for us to just sit here and say, yeah, no, it's not judgmental. It's just safety because you and I don't have that problem. So I would like to know, for those who are a little bit bigger, do they feel like this is shaming? Is there a better way that we can go about letting everyone enjoy the rides? Because I don't want to see anybody be missed out. You know, maybe there's a bigger slide or maybe a accommodation roller coaster or something.
Have that particular problem, but we've got other problems. Everybody's got problems. But this is at an amusement park. And they make you stand on a scale to make sure you don't weigh too much to go on these different rides.
Yeah, and it wouldn't make no difference if they put the scale behind a barrier or something, because even if you leave and don't get on a ride, people know you didn't meet the weight requirement. So no matter how you go about it, you're going to get turned away, and people are going to see you get turned away, you know?
So I guess there's two questions here. Is this fat shaming? We don't think so. And the other question is, do you remember the time when people used to take responsibility for their own problems without blaming other people? Text us, 504-260-9595. Keep your text short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. The mother of former actress Lindsay Lohan, Dina Lohan, was just sentenced to 18 days in jail for DWI. Her trial got off to a rough start when the judge said, order in the court. She said, I'll take a mojito. And her defense was really weak. In fact, her only character witness was her daughter, Lindsay Lohan. Hey, coming up next, your texts on, is that amusement park fat shaming people, making people get on a scale to make sure that they don't weigh too much to ride the rides at their amusement park? There are some people that are upset with that amusement park saying, you're fat shaming us, instead of saying, well, maybe I should lose a few pounds. Your texts on that coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about an amusement park taking some heat. They're being accused of fat shaming their guests because to get on some rides, amusement park guests have to get on a scale to make sure they're not too heavy, because you can't be too heavy and ride on some rides. The amusement park is just looking out for the safety of all of their guests, and they're looking out for their rides as well. We told you about this one woman who was upset that her daughter wasn't allowed to go down the water slide because when she stepped on the scale, the green light didn't go off, the red light went off. And that's what happens. This amusement park is called Adventure World, and it's in Perth, Australia, and they're defending themselves saying that, look, this is what we have to do to keep everybody safe. But there's a bunch of people that think they are fat shaming. We don't think they're fat shaming. And I remember the time when if someone stepped on a scale and it said you were too heavy to do something, in this case, ride a ride at an amusement park, instead of blaming the amusement park for fat shaming, people would say, maybe I should lose a few pounds. What happened to those days? We asked you to text us. Did you think that this amusement park is fat shaming people?
This is from Softy. He says, I'm over 300 pounds and I can't get on certain ladders at work. This text says 250 plus here. I know before I go somewhere what the weight limits are, but you're talking about a child in this instance.
Well, in one particular instance, it was a child.
That should be even more alarming. Like, there's a 13-year-old that's too heavy to get on the ride. Should the mom be looked at about, you know, because think about it. I'm quite sure this is the same scale for kids and adults.
Well, no, you bring up a good point, Coleman. The issue with the teenage girl being too heavy to ride down the water slide, the issue shouldn't be, was she fat shamed because she had to get on a scale that said that. The issue should be, why is this teenager so big?
Right, because I'm quite sure the same scale is used for kids and adults. So she's weighing just as much as the adults that can't get on the ride. Mm. This text says, I'm a heavier person. It is not fat shaming. It's for safety. I don't ride rides, but my children do, and I want to make sure that they are safe. It's fat shaming to weigh them in front of everyone. Well, that makes a good point. This text says, maybe they put a scale in the bathroom when you enter the park first. But here's the thing. If it's about discrimination, let's say they do weigh you privately before you get into the amusement park. Well, they would have to still give you some sort of indication of what rides you can get on and which ones you can't, like a wristband or something. So even if you don't get weighed in front of everybody, people will still see, oh, she has a red wristband on. That means she can only ride these rides, while this person has a purple red band, wristband on, so they can ride other rides.
No, well, that's not how they do it. They do it.
I know how they do it, but they're trying to say the part of it is the fact that they weigh you in right before the ride. That's the shaming part.
They started posting weight limits for their rides, which they enforced by equipping attractions rides with self-serve weighing stations that flash green or red lights, depending on if the rider meets their weight standards. I don't think this is fat shaming. I think they're just trying to keep all of their visitors safe, and they want to keep the rides safe too.
This text says, I'm 6'5", 380. I've earned every pound of it. You want to ride the rides, then lose some weight. This text says, what benefit does the amusement park get for fat-shaming people? Loss of customers, loss of business, bad PR? If it's a safety concern, it's not fat-shaming.
That's a good point. The amusement park is in business like every other, for the same reason every other business is in business, to make as much money as they can. And if they get the reputation that they're going to shame fat people, that they fat-shame, that's not good for business.
This text says, I'm 6'2 and 390. I don't want to be a reason that a ride broke, so it's not fat shaming. People are just too heavy, especially with everyone else on it. That's a good... So what if the 13-year-old girl was allowed to ride the ride and she got stuck? Then what? Does she get to sue the maker of the water slide? Like, what happens there, you know?
That's a good point.
This text says, one's feelings cannot override the laws of physics. This text says, morning, guys. I'm 6'3", 300. My brother is 5'6", 320. If we've been turned away from roller coaster rides for both width and height restrictions, and we don't feel ashamed.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, when we talked about this earlier, Coleman brought up the point, because he's not the tallest guy in the world, that he remembers when he went to an amusement park that he had a stand next to a cardboard cutout, or just a cutout of someone in front of a ride, and it said, if you're not taller than me, or at least as tall or taller than me, you can't ride on this ride. And back then, I didn't hear anybody complaining about short-shaming people.
Yeah, just for the record, we got a lot of texts. We can't get to them all. We're about to wrap it up. But I don't want to fight our audience members. They're like 6'8", 6'2", 6'5", 200 to 300 pounds. We have a very large audience, and I'm afraid to upset them because they seem like they can throw me around like a rag doll.
Well, thank you very much for your texts. We always appreciate them, and you're welcome to text our show anytime about whatever you want when we're doing our show. And if you keep them short, one or two sentences, and if they're good, we'll read them on the show. And please never text while you're driving. Coming up on the show this morning, you see what Arby's is selling? I mean, besides the delicious meats that Arby's has, they're now selling sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat. Hang out for that. So I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this morning's a doozy. Still got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. And tonight's Thursday night NFL game starts our new week for King of the Bayou, picking the NFL football games. This is only our second week because we started 2 weeks late due to Hurricane Ida. And our first week's winner last week, Michael F., he was the only one who picked 15 winners. Remember, there's no point spread. You just pick the NFL games for the week, and you pick who you think's going to win. And so Michael was the one who won the $50.
He's the leader.
He's our leader right now. Yeah. If you haven't signed up yet, sign up, because our new week starts tonight. Just go to our website, bayou957.com. Click on the King of the Bayou. Yeah, that's me as Elvis. No, I look like a moron. And then it only takes a few seconds to sign up, and then just go down and pick the winners. No point spreads. Who you think's gonna win tonight should be an easy one to start this new week. The Thursday night game this week is Jacksonville at Cincinnati. What's interesting about this game is you've got the two teams who had the number one overall draft pick this year and last year. And last year, Cincinnati picked the star from LSU, Joe Burrow. And this year, Jacksonville picked the former Clemson star, Trevor Lawrence. And he's having a rough go of it. And Jacksonville really does stink. And so tonight's game should be a pretty easy one to pick with no point spread. I don't see anybody picking Jacksonville, Coleman. Cincinnati should easily win tonight.
Yeah, I went with Cincinnati as well. Not necessarily because I know the stats and the numbers. It's just I like stripes, and Bengal Tigers have stripes. The Panthers don't.
Boy, Joe Burrow, he's doing well. I mean, he got off to a good start last year. It was a little bit rough, but then he got hurt. And then he came back this year, and he got his former LSU bud, Ja'Marr Chase, as a wide receiver. They picked him in the first round, and he's hit him all over the field. Those two are putting up big numbers for the Cincinnati Bengals.
John, everybody wants to know, the first weekend when it comes to the Bayou crew, you've already skyrocketed to first place. Now we want to know, is the fix in? Do you know something we don't?
There's no fix.
Do you have some people that you talk to that some inside information?
I'm only winning by one game. I picked 11 correct winners last week. You picked 10. Our big boss, Kevin, picked 10. And our night guy, Stoney, he picked 10 as well. And then Ginty picked 9. And Kat,
blah, 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 blah.
I don't know how she did this. She picked 1. I'm telling you, it's harder to lose almost every game than it is harder to win almost every game.
It's kind of like she actively tried to lose.
But sign up, and it starts tonight, and then it ends Monday night, and it's our King of the Bayou. It's a lot of fun. You should get a few people that you work with or a few of your friends to go in with you and just sign up for free. And good weekly prizes at the end of the season. Our grand prize winner, $6,000 worth of prizes, including a diamond ring, a 65-inch high-definition flat-screen television, an autographed Saints Drew Brees jersey, and an autographed football by Drew Brees.
So I think the tough game to pick this week is going to be Detroit versus Chicago.
They both stink.
Exactly. That's going to be the wild card game. That's going to be the game that decides whether or not I shoot up to the top of the King of the Bayou, I shoot down, because this Detroit, the Chicago game is so random. Like they both might lose. That's how bad they are.
It's a lot of fun. Sign up and good luck. But sign up on our website, bayou957.com. I'm a big fan of Arby's. I always thought the roast beef was good. And now they've got more meats. They've got a cheesesteak sandwich, and they've got Arby's, meat. And they always had the circle curly French fries that had a nice little zest to them, that had a nice little kick to them. And they still have those, but now they have other French fries, too, regular French fries. I mean, Arby's is really,
Your mouth feel pretty good? Arby's.
That's where the meat is. And the reason I just brought up Arby's is because they are now selling Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat. Arby's actually, they've got another new meat sandwich. It's basically their version of the McRib sandwich. And to promote that, to celebrate that, they are selling Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat. Is that something that you would wear? I wouldn't mind walking down the street smelling like a rack of ribs.
I think this is brilliant because I know for a fact that women both love hoodies and sweatpants. Like, women would actually buy me hoodies just so I can wear them so they can steal it from me. Women are infamous for stealing men's hoodies. I don't know what it is, but they love to take men's hoodies. And then when it comes to sweatpants, women love a man that walks around with gray sweatpants, especially around the house if they're doing work or the guy's doing some jumping jacks. Women love that. So to have the hoodie that the women can steal and the gray sweatpants for the man to wear, women are going to love this. And then on top of that, you smell like smoked meat.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah.
These Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat, how did they get them to smell like that? Each pair of sweatpants and each hoodie is hand-smoked by a real pitmaster, and then vacuum sealed.
This is brilliant.
And a place in Texas does this, a place called Sadler's Smokehouse. They're the ones who hand smoke each pair of Arby's sweatpants and each Arby's hoodie. They are real pitmasters at Sadler's Smokehouse in Texas. And after they hand smoke them, they're immediately vacuum sealed to lock in the smokiness.
Arby's just did every man on planet Earth a favor. Dude, a hoodie, sweatpants, and you smell like smoked meat, you are an automatic sex symbol.
And think about it. You're only going to smell like smoked meat when you first put them on until you wash them. Because once you wash them, then they're going to smell like all your other clothes that you just washed.
I don't think you wash them. Because I know, like I said, when women steal the hoodies from their man, they steal it because it smells like their man. They don't want to wash it because if you wash it, it takes the smell of their man away. So I don't think these clothes would do you a favor if you wash them. You got to, unfortunately, just keep them the way they are if you intend for them to work properly. You don't want to spend all that money for a one-time use.
I mean, this is like sitting around a campfire for a little while. But it's you get the same exact effect for free.
I might just do a video just for all the ladies who listen to Body 95.7. I might do a video of me wearing the Arby's sweatpants and just doing jumping jacks for about a minute or so. Put that on the website.
Well, my love for Arby's just grew, and I didn't think that was possible. Besides having the delicious different meats and now two types of French fries, they're selling the Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat. And yet when you get those, they're in a vacuum sealed packet. Boy, I'm getting hungry right now. Coming up on the show, still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. There's a wild video that's gone viral of a man and an alligator. Have you seen it? Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Two guys stole a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet. This happened in Madison, Wisconsin. and the police there are looking for these two guys who stole a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty on the toilet. Humpty Dumpty dropping a deuce. It happened at an art fair the other day. The name of the piece is Dumpty Humpty.
Mm.
The man who made it, the artist, says it's worth $1,400.
I would like to call a BS on that.
Why is that?
Just because of the concept. You know, I can probably throw some random paint on a blank canvas and say it's worth $20,000, but I guess it's worth whatever you pay for it, and these guys stole it, so clearly it's worth zero.
Coleman, if you're a fan of Humpty Dumpty and you're into art, what possibly could be better than a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet, and it's called Humpty Dumpty?
Or Dumpty Humpty? That's what it's called. I guess he's dropping yolk when you really think about it. But that's the thing. Humpty is an egg, correct? Am I? He's an egg, isn't he? He broke. He shattered.
Is Humpty Dumpty an egg?
Yeah, that's what I always thought. Every time I thought about the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, then he broke. I always assumed that Humpty Dumpty was an egg.
Okay.
So that means he already came out of something's butt. Isn't that where eggs come from? Out of birds' butts.
Okay. Yeah, Humpty Dumpty, I mean, sure, he looks like an egg. But you would have thought if Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, I mean, he became famous in a children's nursery rhyme. You would have thought he would have broke all over the place.
He did. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again because he broke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Well, anyways, there's a piece of art.
That's what you want to call it.
that has been stolen up in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet. It's called Humpty Dumpty, and the artist is upset that it has been stolen from him, and he says it's worth $1,400. Why wouldn't he say it's worth more?
I don't know. The art world is over my head at this point. I mean, I wouldn't even conceive to make a sculpture of such significance, I guess. So just the idea and the concept.
Well, the artist seems like a good egg. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
And this wasn't it?
No, this wasn't it. Wait till you hear this story. I'll give you a hint. A guy got drunk. And then he did something that made international headlines. And it's safe to say if he didn't get drunk, he wouldn't have done what he did and we wouldn't have known about this. That's next on The Dumbest Thing I Read All Morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A missing drunk man spent hours helping a search party look for himself.
Ah! That's brilliant.
Coleman, this guy was in Turkey. It's a hell of a country. It's a hell of a sandwich, too. This guy was in Turkey. His name is Beyhan Mutlu.
You idiot!
And he was reported missing the other day after his loved ones lost touch with him for several hours. So the man, after meeting his friends, went into a forest while he was drunk. There he joined a group in the area who were walking around looking for someone. And he was just walking around with a group of people, and he didn't realize who they were looking for until they started chanting his name. They were chanting Behan, Mutlu. And after they chanted it a few times, the drunk Mutlu realized he was in a group of people searching for himself.
Question. When's the last time you've ever gotten drunk and you decided to go in the woods with a bunch of dudes?
Look, I don't know. And I don't know if he went into the woods with a bunch of dudes here. He was drunk.
Yeah.
And there were people in the woods looking for him. So he walked into the woods.
Ah, I thought you said he walked with some friends to the woods.
Now, after meeting his friends.
Yeah.
Went into a forest.
Yeah.
While he was drunk.
Yeah, he met with his friends and he went to the forest.
Or no, it says then. Here's what the sentence says.
Okay.
The man, comma, after meeting his friends, comma, went into a forest while he was drunk, comma, where he joined a group in the area who were helping Turkish authorities look for him.
That means they was already looking for him before he went to the forest. Think about that. If he left his friends and walked to the forest, and when he got to the forest, there were already people looking for him, that means the search was on before he even made it to the forest.
So after he was looking for himself with a bunch of other people, he asked, hey, do we know who we're looking for? And then someone told him, we're looking for a man named Behan Mutlu. And then he realized, that's me. Even though he was drunk, he still knew his name. And at that point, he must have told somebody, stop looking, it's me. And the interesting thing is, authorities later gave him a drive home after they took his statement.
You know, I've been drunk a lot, and I get drunk a lot, but I've never been so drunk to where it made news. This is not even local news. This is international news.
International news.
This dude got so drunk that he made international news. We could all be so lucky.
Well, it's not very often do you see drunk people look for themselves with a group of other people in the forest because they've been reported missing.
I've never met a person that's nice enough to even find other people while they were drunk. I'm quite sure when I'm drunk and I'm walking around, if I came across the search party, I would just yell, good luck, guys. I hope you find them and keep on pushing. I never joined a search party, sober or not.
So you wouldn't go look for yourself?
I wouldn't. No, he didn't even know who he was looking for. That's the thing.
He had no idea. He was drunk.
He just started helping people look for somebody. Like, I don't know. Can I see a picture? You know, how do you do that? That's a massive amount of drunkenness.
Well, the Turkish man presumed missing attends a search effort for himself. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Think about that. That's just dumb.
See, that's dumber than a sculptor making a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet, dropping a deuce and calling it Humpty Dumpty.
I would have to agree with you on that.
Because yeah. At least the Humpty Dumpty sculptor, at least there was a lot of thought put into that one. All right. So there's our dumbest thing I read all morning segment for this Thursday morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. And tonight's Thursday night NFL game starts our new week for King of the Bayou, picking the NFL football games. This is only our second week because we started 2 weeks late due to Hurricane Ida. And our first week's winner last week, Michael F., he was the only one who picked 15 winners. Remember, there's no point spread. You just pick the NFL games for the week, and you pick who you think's going to win. And so Michael was the one who won the $50.
He's the leader.
He's our leader right now. Yeah. If you haven't signed up yet, sign up, because our new week starts tonight. Just go to our website, bayou957.com. Click on the King of the Bayou. Yeah, that's me as Elvis. No, I look like a moron. And then it only takes a few seconds to sign up, and then just go down and pick the winners. No point spreads. Who you think's gonna win tonight should be an easy one to start this new week. The Thursday night game this week is Jacksonville at Cincinnati. What's interesting about this game is you've got the two teams who had the number one overall draft pick this year and last year. And last year, Cincinnati picked the star from LSU, Joe Burrow. And this year, Jacksonville picked the former Clemson star, Trevor Lawrence. And he's having a rough go of it. And Jacksonville really does stink. And so tonight's game should be a pretty easy one to pick with no point spread. I don't see anybody picking Jacksonville, Coleman. Cincinnati should easily win tonight.
Yeah, I went with Cincinnati as well. Not necessarily because I know the stats and the numbers. It's just I like stripes, and Bengal Tigers have stripes. The Panthers don't.
Boy, Joe Burrow, he's doing well. I mean, he got off to a good start last year. It was a little bit rough, but then he got hurt. And then he came back this year, and he got his former LSU bud, Jamar Chase, as a wide receiver. They picked him in the first round, and he's hit him all over the field. Those two are putting up big numbers for the Cincinnati Bengals.
John, everybody wants to know, the first weekend when it comes to the Bayou crew, you've already skyrocketed to first place. Now we want to know, is the fix in? Do you know something we don't?
There's no fix.
Do you have some people that you talk to that some inside information?
I'm only winning by one game. I picked 11 correct winners last week. You picked 10. Our big boss, Kevin, picked 10. And our night guy, Stoney, he picked 10 as well. And then Ginty picked 9. And Kat...
blah, 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 blah.
I don't know how she did this. She picked 1. I'm telling you, it's harder to lose almost every game than it is harder to win almost every game.
It's kind of like she actively tried to lose.
But sign up, and it starts tonight, and then it ends Monday night, and it's our King of the Bayou. It's a lot of fun. You should get a few people that you work with or a few of your friends to go in with you and just sign up for free. And good weekly prizes at the end of the season, our grand prize winner, $6,000 worth of prizes, including a diamond ring, a 65-inch high-definition flat-screen television, an autographed Saints Drew Brees jersey, and an autographed football by Drew Brees.
So I think the tough game to pick this week is going to be Detroit versus Chicago.
They both stink.
Exactly. That's going to be the wild card game. That's going to be the game that decides whether or not I shoot up to the top of the King of the Bayou, I shoot down, because this Detroit to Chicago game is so random. Like they both might lose. That's how bad they are.
It's a lot of fun. Sign up and good luck. But sign up on our website, Bayou957.com. I'm a big fan of Arby's. I always thought their roast beef was good. And now they've got more meats. They've got a cheesesteak sandwich, and they've got Arby's meat. And they always had the circle curly French fries that had a nice little zest to them, that had a nice little kick to them. And they still have those, but now they have other French fries too, regular French fries. I mean, Arby's is really
Your mouth feel pretty good. Arby's.
That's where the meat is. And the reason I just brought up Arby's is because they are now selling Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat. Arby's actually, they've got another new meat sandwich. It's basically their version of the McRib sandwich. And to promote that, to celebrate that, they are selling Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat. Is that something that you would wear? I wouldn't mind walking down the street smelling like a rack of ribs.
I think this is brilliant because I know for a fact that women both love hoodies and sweatpants. Like, women would actually buy me hoodies just so I can wear them so they can steal it from me. Women are infamous for stealing men's hoodies. I don't know what it is, but they love to take men's hoodies. And then when it comes to sweatpants, women love a man that walks around with gray sweatpants, especially around the house if they're doing work or the guy's doing some jumping jacks. Women love that. So to have the hoodie that the women can steal and the gray sweatpants for the man to wear, women are going to love this. And then on top of that, you smell like smoked meat.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah.
These Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat, how did they get them to smell like that? Each pair of sweatpants and each hoodie is hand-smoked by a real pitmaster and then vacuum-sealed.
This is brilliant.
And a place in Texas does this, a place called Sadler's Smokehouse. They're the ones who hand-smoke each pair of Arby's sweatpants and each Arby's hoodie. They are real pit masters at Sadler's Smokehouse in Texas. And after they hand smoke them, they're immediately vacuum sealed to lock in the smokiness.
Arby's just did every man on planet Earth a favor. Dude, a hoodie, sweatpants, and you smell like smoked meat, you are an automatic sex symbol.
And think about it, you're only going to smell like smoked meat when you first put them on, until you wash them, because once you wash them, then they're going to smell like all your other clothes that you just washed.
I don't think you wash them, because I know, like I said, when women steal the hoodies from their man, they steal it because it smells like their man. They don't want to wash it because if you wash it, it takes the smell of their man away. So I don't think these clothes would do you a favor if you wash them. You got to, unfortunately, just keep them the way they are if you intend for them to work properly. You don't want to spend all that money for a one-time use.
I mean, this is like sitting around a campfire for a little while. But it's you get the same exact effect for free.
I might just do a video just for all the ladies who listen to Bayou 95.7. I might do a video of me wearing the Arby's sweatpants and just doing jumping jacks for about a minute or so. Put that on the website.
Well, my love for Arby's just grew. And I didn't think that was possible. Besides having the delicious different meats and now two types of French fries, they're selling the Arby's sweatpants and hoodies that smell like smoked meat. And yet when you get those, they're in a vacuum sealed packet. Boy, I'm getting hungry right now. Coming up on the show, still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. There's a wild video that's gone viral of a man and an alligator. Have you seen it? Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Two guys stole a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet. This happened in Madison, Wisconsin. And the police there are looking for these two guys who stole a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty on the toilet. Humpty Dumpty dropping a deuce. It happened at an art fair the other day. The name of the piece is Dumpty Humpty.
Mm.
The man who made it, the artist, says it's worth $1,400.
I would like to call a BS on that.
Why is that?
Just because of the concept. You know, I can probably throw some random paint on a blank canvas and say it's worth $20,000, but I guess it's worth whatever you pay for it, and these guys stole it, so clearly it's worth zero.
Coleman, if you're a fan of Humpty Dumpty and you're into art, what possibly could be better than a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet, and it's called Humpty Dumpty?
Or Dumpty Humpty? That's what it's called. I guess he's dropping yolk when you really think about it. But that's the thing. Humpty is an egg, correct? Am I? He's an egg, isn't he? He broke. He shattered.
Is Humpty Dumpty an egg?
Yeah, that's what I always thought. Every time I thought about the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, then he broke. I always assumed that Humpty Dumpty was an egg.
Okay.
So that means he already came out of something's butt. Isn't that where eggs come from? Out of birds' butts?
Okay. Yeah, Humpty Dumpty, I mean, sure, he looks like an egg. But you would have thought if Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, I mean, he became famous in a children's nursery rhyme. You would have thought he would have broke all over the place.
He did. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again because he broke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Well, anyways, there's a piece of art.
That's what you want to call it.
that has been stolen up in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet. It's called Humpty Dumpty. And the artist is upset that it has been stolen from him, and he says it's worth $1,400. Why wouldn't he say it's worth more?
I don't know. The art world is over my head at this point. I mean, I wouldn't even conceive to make a sculpture of such significance, I guess. So just the idea and the concept.
Well, the artist seems like a good egg. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
And this wasn't it?
No, this wasn't it. Wait till you hear this story. I'll give you a hint. A guy got drunk, and then he did something that made international headlines. And it's safe to say, if he didn't get drunk, he wouldn't have done what he did, and we wouldn't have known about this. That's next on The Dumbest Thing I Read All Morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A missing drunk man spent hours helping a search party look for himself.
Ah! That's brilliant.
Coleman, this guy was in Turkey. It's a hell of a country. It's a hell of a sandwich, too. This guy was in Turkey. His name is Beyhan Mutlu.
You idiot!
And he was reported missing the other day after his loved ones lost touch with him for several hours. So the man, after meeting his friends, went into a forest while he was drunk. There he joined a group in the area who were walking around looking for someone. And he was just walking around with a group of people, and he didn't realize who they were looking for until they started chanting his name. They were chanting Beyhan Mutlu. And after they chanted it a few times, the drunk Mutlu realized he was in a group of people searching for himself.
Question. When's the last time you've ever gotten drunk and you decided to go in the woods with a bunch of dudes?
Look, I don't know. And I don't know if he went into the woods with a bunch of dudes here. He was drunk,
yeah.
And there were people in the woods looking for him. So he walked into the woods.
Ah, I thought you said he walked with some friends to the woods.
Now, after meeting his friends,
yeah.
Went into a forest,
yeah.
While he was drunk.
Yeah, he met with his friends and he went to the forest.
Or no, it says then, here's what the sentence says.
Okay.
The man, comma, after meeting his friends, comma, went into a forest while he was drunk, comma, where he joined a group in the area who were helping Turkish authorities look for him.
That means they was already looking for him before he went to the forest. Think about that. If he left his friends and walked to the forest, and when he got to the forest, there were already people looking for him. That means the search was on before he even made it to the forest.
So after he was looking for himself with a bunch of other people, he asked, hey, do we know who we're looking for? And then someone told him, we're looking for a man named Beyhan Mutlu. And then he realized, that's me. Even though he was drunk, he still knew his name. And at that point, he must have told somebody, stop looking, it's me. And the interesting thing is, authorities later gave him a drive home after they took his statement.
Hmm. You know, I've been drunk a lot, and I get drunk a lot, but I've never been so drunk to where it made news. This is not even local news. This is international news.
International
this
news.
This dude got so drunk that he made international news. We can all be so lucky.
Well, it's not very often do you see drunk people look for themselves with a group of other people in the forest because they've been reported missing.
I've never met a person that's nice enough to even find other people while they were drunk. I'm quite sure when I'm drunk and I'm walking around, if I came across the search party, I would just yell, good luck, guys. I hope you find them and keep on pushing. I never joined a search party, sober or not.
So you wouldn't go look for yourself?
I wouldn't. No, he didn't even know who he was looking for. That's the thing.
He had no idea.
He just started helping people look for somebody. Like, I don't know. Can I see a picture? You know, how do you do that? That's a massive amount of drunkenness.
Well, the Turkish man presumed missing attends a search effort for himself That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Think about that. That's just dumb.
See, that's dumber than a sculptor making a sculpture of Humpty Dumpty sitting on a toilet, dropping a deuce, and calling it Humpty Dumpty.
I would have to agree with you on that.
Because at least the Humpty Dumpty sculptor, at least there was a lot of thought put into that one. All right. So there's our dumbest thing I read all morning segment for this Thursday morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.